Oh my days, this is happening.
How the mighty have fallen. Right?
Where are we?
Welcome to the weirdest podcast episode like you're ever going to hear or see evs.
Okay. Ever.
From, drumroll please, my car. Because it's the most soundproof place we could find to record this bloody episode while we're travelling in the beautiful country of Holland. Home to cheese, nice people.
Uncomfortable shoes.
Uncomfortable shoes and the worst driving speeds imaginable.
Yes.
Honestly, it takes like half a day to get anywhere. Like, I've turned up this country 42 and I've aged like 8 years.
How to make your country seem bigger? Easy.
Just make everybody drive really fucking slowly. You've been gone 4 days, Daniel. Where did you go? I was just 30 kilometres down the road. It's just unbelievable. Now, all jokes aside, actually, big shout out to Holland. This is my first time in Holland.
Is it?
Yeah, properly staying here.
Oh.
Like, and I'll give it its due. My touch points of this country are pretty limited so far, but I really like what I see. I really do. It's just, just driving is, wow.
Painful.
It is painful. But I have to say, they're really on it because, like, I mean, bearing in mind, I've been driving for 25 long years, right?
I started when I was five.
That's all right, cheeky chops. You know, this the banter bus is already in town today. But I have never once been breathalyzed, like, ever. And not that there would be any reason for me to be breathalyzed because I'm a responsible driver. But upon arriving in Holland, the very first thing that happened was got stopped and got breathalyzed. And it was like, whoa, they're really on it. It was also the most policemen I'd seen in years because, like, where we live, there's about, like, one copper for about 10,000 people. So, anyway. There you go.
That's
love Holland. That's all we need. Yeah, that's right. That's it. So anyway, I'm loving Holland. How are you doing anyway?
Wonderful. We're doing this now because, I know that people have been messaging in like, where's the bloody episode?
Do you think we're going to look like a pair of right fucking cheapskates like recording this podcast episode from my car?
I think it's, you know, we're being real.
Being real, right? Being edgy, being real. It is fun. It is fun because here's the thing that we're doing this big family thing. We get together and we're staying with lots of sprogs who have already started sharing germs, and now at least one of our kids has got the shits, and we're just playing that waiting game of who's it going to be next?
Who's next? Okay. Tag.
Who's Dibs, next?
Dibs not.
Dibs not. It's me.
It's
I'm going to get the shits, right? And so it's like the noise level in the house has gone from sort of like from about what we're normally used to, okay, to sort of Guantanamo Bay level on a Thursday afternoon. When they haven't coughed up the necessary information, and it's ever so slightly unbearable.
I wouldn't say afternoons, like more like they tend to do it in the small hours, don't they?
They do. Yeah, what am I saying?
When you've just nodded off.
You've just nodded.
And then the merciless techno.
That's right. That's the noise
level.
That's the noise level. All right. So anyway, and there's a nice Dutch lady driving past on her moped, wondering why we've got a microphone sticking out my middle console, like some special kid on the bus. Honestly, this has to be the most peculiar podcast episode ever done.
I think we should make promise that at least quarterly we should record in peculiar places.
Peculiar places, yeah. Like the airing cupboard. Because the soundproofing.
No, more
shit.
Peculiar, like on a paddleboard.
Yes, paddleboard. Oh, bloody hell, that's a bit risky. Well, you know,
well, I love living on the edge.
Well, okay, you're a great paddle boarder.
I'm married. Right? Every day is a cliffhanger.
You're a great paddle boarder. I'm a terrible paddle boarder. So
you're not standing up, though.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's okay. But it's SUP. It's stand up paddle boarder. The kind of names in the clues in the name, even. Anyway, fuck. What a
it's
great
going
start.
So well.
This is the best. Right. Okay. So, shoot.
How's your week been?
On balance, awesome. Actually. I love going to new countries, and I'm a little bit embarrassed that I literally live next door to Holland.
Well, technically,
bar France and Belgium, but to get to Holland
and a bit of water
and a bit. All right, fucking hell. Okay, so close enough to Holland to call it a neighbour. Never really spent any significant time here. It's nice. I love it here. It's really nice.
Interestingly, though, I mean, for me, growing up really close to the Dutch border, in fact, so close that I spent most of my A level days
getting wasted.
Over this side,
yep.
Drinking coffee in establishments.
Coffee.
and then taking some coffee back in flasks over the border again.
Because the sniffer dogs definitely don't pick up on that, like, at all.
It's just coffee.
It's just coffee, officer.
I don't know what you're talking about. So for me, Holland was always, like, where do we go on a Sunday? Holland. Just really normal. And now everybody gets excited to come and spend time here. Yeah. However, I always assumed that Holland and Germany, because so close geographically speaking, were really close culturally, but they couldn't be further apart.
No, very far apart.
And
true.
What we actually learned from our brother-in-law, who works here and works with Dutch people, he shared some really interesting insights into German and Dutch differences. And he said that the Dutch mentality and culture are really much, really aligned with, really anglicized.
Yes. So very Anglo-Saxon.
Yeah, Anglo-Saxon mindset in terms of money and
risk-taking.
And so I thought that was incredibly insightful.
Yeah.
Which brings me to something I want to talk about with you today. But before we start, so wrapping up the month of May, when you're listening to this, it's still May because we're, well, recording and sending this.
You really thought
now.
This one through, haven't you? Holy smokes.
I know, I'm not drunk, I promise.
What's my name?
It's only noon. But yeah, May's been testing. May was absolutely such a roller coaster, right? A few things have changed. We've worked tirelessly, and it feels like we haven't slept in about 30 days.
Yeah.
But we're getting places.
We are. I mean, can I just say to that, working tirelessly, I mean, thank you to everyone in Lingo Tribe for making it what it is. I'm sorry to break your flow just there, but I've got to say this. Honestly, to everyone in the tribe and to those who are now starting to come and apply to be invited in, honestly, what you guys have made it is something that, Katie and I, we never envisaged. We had no idea it was going to become this thing. You've made it what it is, and it is a thriving community. It's absolutely brilliant. I mean, when we created the platform, we thought we'd be looking at maybe it was just like a point of contact for people to, you know, they've got any questions about the personal branding course, for example, or whatever it is, to interact. But we've got thousands of interactions a day.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Mad. And we've onboarded the first external, like fresh people.
Yeah, fresh people. Yeah.
For the group. That's right. For the tribe.
That's it.
That's super exciting.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I started something big last week. I've been invited to become a panelist on a startup accelerator program that lasts 20 weeks. Mm. And we are working with global startups in edtech. So, I had the coolest kind of insights, and I'm not allowed to divulge very much because lots of it is sensitive information, but the ideas and meeting those people, they're so inspiring, people wanting to change the world for the better, and I get to play a small and insignificant part on their go-to-market journey.
I think you played I know you was going to talk it down because you're never going to big yourself up having lived 20 years in England or thereabouts. No, it's not 20 years. What am I talking about? It's 12, 13 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
But in any you play a major part in it, I'm sure. And it's super exciting because it's going to make a massive difference, what you're offering.
So I'm the face for sales and marketing, and I'm helping them with their go-to-market strategy. And then when everything's been done and dusted, like everything's been decided on the operational side and like everything's in place, then we talk about branding and storytelling and getting the message out and increasing their visibility and all. It's fantastic. And we've got a few really cool irons in the fire, haven't we?
So, really have.
I'm feeling really blessed right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish I could say, hand on heart, it's been an easy month. It hasn't. It's been a hard month. I spoke to a project manager this morning, and she said, because she knows any vacation's always a workation. I always love keeping my hand in, and I am super excited for the month of June because I have some new customers starting with me, which is and they're quite tailored, quite niche projects, and I'm really looking forward to those. But when I said to her on the phone, she asked me, "How's it going?" I said, volume wise, May is just like dead as a doorknob. It's unbelievable. And she went, yeah, she said, on principle, we write off the month of May for turnover wise, loads to do and no money earned. And I was like, yeah, I can relate to that because you only have 150 jobs and feel like, you know, you're just basically treading water. So May is just as a translator, in my experience, it tends to be a frustrating month because there's literally nothing going on. But anyway, that's just that. But like I said, Lingo Tribe and everyone in it has made it not just bearable, but actually really exciting because of all the interactions we've had. But anyway, that's that. So one thing I wanted to say was to share with you guys today a sort of a bit of a light-hearted one. I'd like to think every episode is quite light-hearted.
I hope so.
Yeah, you'd hope so, wouldn't you? Although there's an official guy standing there. He's got like a high-vis vest on.
Oh,
Do you think they're on to us?
We're going to get arrested.
We're going to get arrested. Public indecency. That's right.
You are fully closed, though, just for the listeners.
I'm not. Just honestly, to the waist, you can only see past my nipple, right? Everything else from the waist down is birthday suit. Okay, that's right. Okay. No, he's gone now. Thank God for that. One thing I wanted to share with you is like this insight, again, from staying in Holland for the first proper time in my life. One thing I've noticed is the stark difference in copy culture that exists between the UK and, say, Germany and Holland, for example. And the example I wanted to give you guys was actually an example of German copy that I got to read because my sister-in-law brought, very kindly, a bunch of food over from Germany.
We can't get them in the UK.
You can't get them. You can't
peanuts. Watsits, just amazing.
The work of the devil. Peanut watsits. So basically, every time you eat one, right, it basically staples like a little peanut watsit shape to your hip. So you wake up in the morning and you've gone from being like a nice, like lean and just like trained
30-inch waist
to being like just having these huge hips. Like, okay, where I've got like little peanut shaped watsits, like just sticking out because those little fuckers, they're just pure calories and they taste amazing, right?
So delicious.
Adams flips. They are so good. But anyway, I digress. What I wanted to share with you guys was the difference being is that you guys have probably picked up on the fact by now, and if you haven't, frankly, we're not doing our job properly, that we love copy, especially good copy, and we're forever citing examples of great copy or shit copy. And it dawned on me, like, reading, because I was just bored at the kitchen table, I was reading the back of this pack.
Oh, sorry, I can be...
No, you really dropped the ball that day, honestly. We, like, used up all our conversational cue cards. I was like, right, what am I going to do? Like, I'll read the back of this crisp packet. But what I wanted to share with you was, and I'm going to read it off my phone here, okay, was what the back of this packet actually said. And it was in German, so I'm going to, like, translate it on the fly. Okay, so here we go. So the company is Lorenz. I can't imagine they're the only producers of peanut flips, but in any case, here it goes. So perhaps you've already discovered on the front side of this packet, we're now just about to show you more precisely what exactly you can expect to find in our Erdnusslocken, right? KG's already looking for the rusty spoon because she can't take it anymore. Okay, it's boring as. Okay, drinsteck. Here we go. One of our primary ingredients are, of course, tasty peanuts.
Yeah, no okay. Shit, because they're called peanut flips.
No shit, Sherlock, really? Yeah. Okay, here we go. But then it continues. Hang on a second. We're only warming up. Okay. But perhaps what is not so obvious to you...
Tell us, Daddy! Okay,
is that our Erdnusslocken Classic, so these peanut flips, okay, these peanut watsits, rather, they're vegan.
Wow.
Okay. We would be delighted if you enjoy the taste of every single...
Yeah.
Peanut, what's it?
Say it.
And enjoy a great time with us, full stop. Right?
Shut the front door.
Right? And I read this and I thought, who the fuck wrote that? That is the worst copy I've ever seen. And what I'm really hoping is that, like, our sort of fledgling podcast somehow, right, makes it back to the peeps at Lorenz. And I hope that first thing Monday morning, the boss comes in and absolutely bollocks the copy department for producing such bad content. But actually...
It's probably his daughter.
It's probably his right. Hat mich eiskalt erwischt. Like head of copy at about the age of 19. But I'm not being funny, guys, but seriously, this is... I don't know how my on-the-fly translation did it any justice, but if you're a German native speaker and you read that, you've got to ask yourself, does that really inspire you to try the product, right? And I ask Katie... I mean, Katie is someone who religiously reads copy.
On anything.
I'm a bit more selective. I'm like, it's going to be crap, so I'm not going to read it. I'm not interested. But, you know, I love good copy, and there are some products in the UK that do it exceptionally well. Okay.
Yes. Case in point, Innocent Juice.
Innocent.
I love them. I've got like copywriters, fan, love, admiration.
Copywriters boner.
Copywriters boner for them.
Because they're fucking brilliant. It's Innocent Juice.
Oatly.
Oatly but milk as well, yes.
Because they're so cheeky and so original.
Yeah.
And
what about the printer, the printer toner company? Yeah, were they called? Stinky Ink.
Stinky Ink.
They're brilliant.
They call themselves the benevolent dictators
of printing or something like that.
Brilliant. Yeah, but this sticks, right? The fact that we're talking about this now. This was years ago.
Yeah, this is.
Yeah. They still stick. So why not make it so memorable? And this is only fast moving consumer.
Yeah.
Fast moving consumer goods.
Got a linen.
It's a mouthful. Yeah. Sorry, I've been talking in German all week. Sam, this is this is only food stuff.
Yeah. I feel an intervention coming on personally, because honestly, I can't remember reading German copy and going, wow, that was brilliantly done. There was an example that was used recently, was it for a car company?
Sixt, car rental service, and there was a big shiny German car, let me guess, probably like a Beamer, BMW, and yeah. The title said Gänsehauto, so an amalgamation of Goosebumps and car.
Yes.
And it was so clever. It just stayed with me, yeah, because it was so original.
Yeah.
That was so unique.
Yeah.
German is a shit country for a good copy. Yeah. And I don't know about you when you speak, if you speak fluent Dutch, because I read and understand Dutch, but I don't get the nuances. So it would be interesting to hear from your country, whether you're in Holland or in Spain or in France or anywhere else. What's the copy like where you are? Do you feel tickled pink? Are your synapses on fire when you read it? Does it make you laugh even, you know? And does it make you want to go back and buy the product again, or recommend it to people and rave about it? Yeah. And that's what we want always. And talking to those founders from the Startup Accelerator as well, we want people to rave about us. We want to create raving fans.
Of course, absolutely. And we want
to stick in their heads.
Because it is and has been for a long time, the only way to truly survive in any market is to create an emotional spark, a connection between the person reading or absorbing your copy, your content, and the product itself. Nothing else will work. To list accolades or attributes or benefits or advantages, it just doesn't work anymore. It's not 1975. You know, everything starts with an emotional connection. Mm. And, you know, with all the great work our people in our tribe have done already, when they started out, it was always the same approach to writing an about me or a featured post or any post or whatever it was. It was always done from the perspective of what's in it for you, or rather just saying, not even that, just saying, this is what we do. And I always say, and Katie is like, we say it like all the time, it's like, people will know what you do. Like, if they've beaten a path to your door, they already know who you are, and they know what you do. So create, just ignore that. Never ever talk about your accolades. I mean, if you go on my LinkedIn profile or your LinkedIn profile, nowhere do we talk about what it is we've achieved or what we have to offer. Because anybody who goes to my profile or your profile will know that already.
Yeah. If you're a translator, they'll probably assume you've got a master's degree from somewhere. Exactly. Or you might even have a PhD from somewhere. Or, you know, if you're a language trainer, you will have studied maybe possibly languages or culture or history at some point, or maybe not.
Yeah.
But they will probably assume it is fairly implicit.
Yeah.
What we have to do to become whoever we are today. Yeah, so.
Absolutely. And so with this in mind, and I'm conscious of the fact we've been doing this for 18 minutes, like, I'm starting to get really warm already because I can't have the aircon on, because apparently it makes like weird noises on the recording.
Well, yeah.
It is.
Anything for great sound quality. The podcast itself can be shit, but at least the sound quality.
So I'm sweating my undercarriage off right here, so I'm going to cap this one. But I've got some homework for anybody listening to this, okay?
Tell us.
I know, I'm just about to. It's exciting. So what I want you to do, again, this is completely on the fly. What I want anybody to do listening to this in your country, okay, or wherever it is you happen to be staying, okay, is the next time you come across a random household item, okay, bottle of shampoo, packet of crisps, dust bags for your Hoover, unless you've got one of those shitty Dyson that cost a fortune and they just don't work that well.
Bastards. It's
just my opinion. But the point is, anything you pick up, I want you to read the copy on the back or on the sides of it and see if it tickles you. And it's just my prediction, but if it doesn't tickle you, okay, that company is not going to survive.
Write to them and say you can do it better.
Write to them and say you've got shit copy. Yeah, absolutely. Call them out, because at the end of the day, I've called out this peanut what's it company. You know, the chances that they'll ever see this is quite slim, but they need to be told, because it's these days bad copy is almost a crime, because it's not that hard to write great copy. It's not. If you have a certain proclivity for creative writing, okay? And as a business owner, you understand that for many years now, it's about the emotional connection. So whatever it is you do, create emotion, okay?
Yes.
Good and bad. Anyway, I'll leave it there. I've got to get out of this car because I'm going to... I think the girls are going to come out.
You mean our fun. Podcast studio?
Podcast studio. Oh, and as a final thought, it would be interesting to hear if you think we should do another podcast episode in our car.
Precariousplaces.com.
Precariousplaces.com. Watch this space. Anyway, right.
It's probably already bought up by somebody.
I reckon if we started, like, if we got, like, the landing page with it, it'll probably get blacklisted because it sounds quite adulty.
Ooh. Somebody needs a hug. Anyway. We love you.
Loads of love. Take care.
Take care.
Hey,
bye.
That was great.
Hang on.
Yeah, hit it.